This morning, I'm going to share a message with you that we sort of started last week, this series on overcoming. I started thinking about this, and I read a verse in my devotional. There was a verse that really stood out to me, and that I'll read in a minute from 1 John. But I just thought, wouldn't it be cool to do like a little series and talk about how we are, as Christians, we are overcomers through Christ. And what does that actually mean? What does that actually represent? Last Sunday, Louis shared on overcoming your past, and I'm going to sort of like, almost like part two of that message, which I'm going to be speaking on rejection. How do we overcome rejection, and what rejection is, and all that kind of stuff. But that's what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks, and I'm excited for it. And I would like to tell you that one thing that's certain in life, people have told us many multiple times over, the one thing that's certain in life is death. Another thing that's certain in life is, somebody added later on, taxes. We have to pay your tax. Even in Jesus' time, they asked him, who do I pay tax to? You got to pay taxes to your government. And then I would like to add another thing on that saying, and maybe you may agree with me. I think that another thing that we can, and as humans, will not ever escape in this life, because we live in this world and it's a sinful world, is rejection. Rejection has many shapes and many forms, and we'll talk about what that actually means. But one of our greatest needs as humans is to be loved and to offer love. And that's how God created us in the beginning. He wants you and me to know that he loves us. He created us for a relationship, and he wants to spend time with us. And that's all God intended in the beginning, for us to have this emotion, to receive this love. But the opposite of love is rejection. And nobody goes around the city says, I don't want to be loved. I want to be rejected. But I want to talk about this because I believe that rejection is one of the things that a lot of people struggle with, including myself, where it actually, at the root of the problem, when you look at all the problems that we face as humans and all the things that we encounter and experience and all the things that we go through, and you will go from, and even just basic emotions like anger, control, lust, addictions that people face, people go through, is all somehow, when you track it back, it's somehow rooted in this root of rejection. Of not being accepted, not being loved the proper way, not experiencing the love of the Father the proper way, and therefore people run to different things in life thinking that those things will give them acceptance, but then they keep on hurting themselves and others, and it's like it's a ripple effect. And really, I've realized, and why I want to talk about rejection, and I might actually make it into two messages, but what I want to speak about rejection this morning is because I've realized that some of the deepest pain that I've experienced in my own personal life have come from rejection from my past. Whether it's, I don't want to go into a lot of stories, but whether it's just me growing up as a young boy at home and being rejected by my siblings, by my cousins, by my friends that I thought were my friends, but they were actually bullying me, or in school, or even by my own parents, where I thought they didn't have enough time to spend with me when I was young, growing up. They were working, busy, working, but all the child needed was just love and acceptance. And I thought, didn't really know how to define that, but I realized later in life that actually it's that root of rejection. And that's how enemy works in the lives of people, through that root of rejection. And he tries to take away our purpose and our destiny and what God has made us to be with that rejection. And I really believe, actually, there's a spirit of rejection that is running rampant. And even the Bible talks about this. In the end days, there's going to be a lot of love will grow cold, and there's going to be rejection upon rejection, and sin is going to abound. And we live in a time where rejection is almost like it's a normal part of our day-to-day life. And what I've realized over and over again is that some of the most offendable and hurtful people, if you look and hear their story and you talk to them, deep down you could go to the root of it and you will see there's rejection that's somewhere there in their life that is making them act a certain way, making them do certain things, maybe even not willingly, like, for example, we just had a conversation with a lady after the first service, and she said, I don't even know, like, I'm talking to my kids, and I'm thinking to myself, why am I like this? Why am I so negative with my kids? And then this morning she had an aha moment where God revealed to her it is a rejection that's deeply rooted in her heart that she is never, just it was just revealed to her this morning. So whenever I get offended by someone that someone did or say something, it's usually somewhere rooted in a rejection that I've experienced myself somewhere in life along the lines with people. So that's why I want to talk about this today. I'm going to try to do this in the next 30 minutes of a lesson and just kind of share what the Bible talks about rejection. And also we're going to look to our one and only, the greatest example, who was a perfect human, who was a perfect God himself. Jesus, who actually knows, not only knows as in like he knows how to teach well and he can understand our pain, but he actually was right there in the pain of rejection himself. And when you think about it, Jesus, God's own son, the one who created everything, the one that gave us everything that we have. I mean, just think about our human being and how complex we are and our brain and our conscience and all of these things. This was all created by the Creator himself. And you think about, you look at the nature, you got a nature, you look at all the mountains and seas and clouds and look at all the beauty of creation. And this is the God who created everything. And this God decides to send his own son. And he knows that when he sends his own son, that his own son will be rejected. Not only once, twice, three, four, five times, but actually all the way, if I want to put it that way, through his career growing up, Jesus was rejected over and over and over again. And because he was rejected, we know that we are going to be rejected. And even Jesus even talks about that. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will be rejected. In this world, you will experience pain. People will actually reject you. Even Jesus said that. And because of that, you can have assurance that you will have that, but do not have to worry about it because I have overcome the world, Jesus said. So, here's what rejection is. Just Google it, and this is what really, and this is some of these words really like resonated with me as I was trying to figure out deep down what is it. So rejection simply is, it's the act of renouncing, dismissing, non-acceptance, turn down, and the act of refusing. Any of these things, I'm sure every single one of you sitting here have experienced at least one of these once, if not thousands of times. Whether it's by your own parents, by your own siblings, by your own friends, by your own coworkers, by whoever, this is a normal part of life where we get to experience just being dismissed, when somebody just doesn't like our idea, or they just don't agree with us, or they don't accept what we have to say and what we feel, or they turn us down, or we come alongside and we want to help, and they turn us down, and they just refuse us and just say, you don't know, we don't care, and you just feel that rejection. So, here's the truth that I want to start with. Rejection is real, but so is Jesus. It's a very simple truth I want to start with because this is where everything begins. Every human problem, every human pain is real. And it's painful and it hurts. And sometimes it's not just, you can just shake it off. Sometimes it takes time for it to heal, for us to heal as humans because we're emotional. That's how God created us. But because rejection is real, so is Jesus. And that gives us hope that Jesus himself and his presence, who Jesus, his name was Emmanuel, God with us, is with us in our rejection, is with us in our pain. And that's what I want to lean into today, this morning. You are not what others did to you. You are who God calls you to be. That's who you are. Now, some of us have heard this multiple times, but when we ask the deeper why question, do I really believe this for myself? A lot of people would say, well, I don't really know if that's the case in my life because I have been in so much pain and so many times I've been rejected that I just don't think this is true for me. Oh, maybe it's true for you, but I really don't believe this. My parents and my this and my that, it's just, in my case, this is really not true. Well, let's go to the scripture, which is what gives us all life and courage and strength. And I want to just read this one, which you've heard multiple times over. Jesus, Messiah, there was a prophecy about him coming to this world. And we've read it, we usually read this around Christmas, but I want to read it this morning because it speaks of this very thing where Jesus himself, before he even came, before he even entered this world that he was going to save, he was rejected. And we're going to talk about that in a moment, but this is what it says, Isaiah 53. He says, he's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Another translation says this, he was looked down on and passed over. A man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turn away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. So Jesus himself, before he even entered the world, he knew that he was going to be rejected. Now let that thought just sit for a moment with you. Before he even came to the people that he was going to save, he knew the rejection was incoming. And despite of that, he decided to still come. Okay, that's the first truth. And then you're thinking about Jesus when the angel comes to Mary, and we'll just go to that really quick. A Christmas story comes to Mary, and angel says, listen, you're going to have a child. He's going to be the son of God. He's going to save the world. And then Mary said, okay, well, I don't know. Okay, sounds good. And then she's so happy and she's so joyful, and she goes to her husband, Joseph, and she says, Joseph, listen, I'm pregnant. We're going to have a child. And this child is of God. It's the son of God. And the first thing that happens, what Joseph says, and if you read the scripture, we're not going to go into it, but the first thing that he says is, no, wait, I don't want this. Well, the first, his earthly father, Joseph, rejects him. He was just conceived, still in the belly. And we have a lot of people, obviously, nowadays you hear about abortion, and babies are being conceived and being rejected by parents over and over again, whether it's being aborted or whether it's being given to adoption. That the spirit of rejection is just, I'm not going to go into details, but Jesus himself experienced rejection by his own earthly father. When Joseph even, he actually thinks of a plan of how is he going to, in the best way, get rid of this, call this engagement off and walk away from this and get his hands clean so that he doesn't have to do anything with this because he just doesn't want this. He rejects the Savior of the world. But then what happens? Angel has to come and intervene again. And while Joseph was sleeping, you know the story, the Christmas story, angel comes and confirms the identity of that baby in the belly and says, listen, buddy, this baby is the son of the world, and you have no choice. You're going to be a father to this boy. And Joseph wakes up. He's a new man. God just spoke to him. And he goes on and accepts Jesus as his own boy. And then you see, as we go through, and this is just going to mention a few things, but thinking about Jesus' life, man, he wasn't even born. He was already rejected. Not once, Herod hears about this baby being born, and he orders, and he's afraid that his throne is going to be taken from him. And Mary and Joseph, pregnant, about to give birth, have to hop on a donkey or whatever animal that was and run for their life. Because Jesus was again, not even born yet, already rejected by Roman rulers and by the empire and by the government and that. So they had to run for their life. And as they were running for their life, there was a second rejection. As they were running for their life, they come about, the water just broke, and Mary is about to give birth. And guess what? At least you could have a proper baby in like a proper whatever they had at that time. But did they come and knock at the five-star hotel at that time? And there was no room for him there. Another rejection. He wasn't even born yet. He was already three times rejected by the humanity that he himself created. You would think, well, royal robes, Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe is coming. We're going to do, I mean, as humans, like we've got to get this big. We got to prepare, like this is big. You would think that, right? The prime minister is going to come and visit. Okay, well, let's get all of our act in order. Let's get everything ready. Let's get all the things organized, or king or whatever. We as humans, that's how we think. But you would think that people would actually do that for Jesus. But no. He experiences deep rejection even before being born. And then we know the story of Jesus growing up. And I don't have to share much here, but you see Jesus growing up. They were refugees for first part of his life because he would have been killed. So for about 12 years, I believe the first time we read about Jesus is when he was 12 in the temple. So they probably were about a decade away, refugees in a foreign country in Egypt, being afraid. Mary and Joseph were afraid. So they came back, and then you see Jesus is teaching in a temple later on, and then you don't hear much, and all of a sudden Jesus comes onto the scene. And as he comes onto the scene, the first thing that happens, he's walking down, and the prophet John the Baptist starts proclaiming and affirming and accepting him and says, "This is the Lamb of God." And then Jesus comes, he walks into the water, and then the voice from heaven comes and says, "This is my son who I'm well pleased with." I think that's all he needed to hear to continue on into the ministry and really be what God has called him to be. And there was a big acceptance that happens. That's what I call that moment, not the actual baptism. He gets accepted. He gets affirmed. He says, "This is the Son of God. This is the Lamb of the world." And then, as he goes through this life, next 3 years of his ministry, he gets rejected by people. He gets rejected by, in Mark 6:3, his own neighbors make fun of him. He said, "This guy, he's just a carpenter's son. Look at him. Like, who does he think he is?" Then he goes on about his, in the scripture after scripture, John 6:66, he says that many of his disciples, they turned back on him. They walked away from him. They rejected him. And then he just keeps on going, and he keeps on running on this fuel of acceptance of his father. And he goes in Mark 3:21, his own family thought that he was out of his mind, that he was crazy, and they rejected him, and he just kept on going. People, they brought him to this massive hill. They were about to throw him down that cliff, and he just walked away. And one moment after another, abandoned by his closest friend, even in his darkest hour, when he was actually going to the Garden of Gethsemane and praying, his closest friends were with him, and he told them, "Be on guard, pray and watch so that you wouldn't fall," and all of them fall asleep. So he comes back, and he's confused. What are you guys doing? So again, Jesus feels rejection. They're not listening. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. And then, as they come and take him away, all of his disciples disappear. every single one of them rejects him, especially Peter. It's a whole other story. But rejection after rejection after rejection. And then we know the cross, when he goes up to the cross and his statement, just, Father, just forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then just after that, he says, you know what? Actually, it was before that or after that, I can't remember now, but he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? He's feeling the rejection now of his own father on the cross. And the only reason he was feeling that, because he was human, just like us, and he wanted to empathize with us, for you to know that he also knows what it's like sometimes to not hear from God when you need him the most, to not have an answer to all your questions, to not really fully understand the situation that you just went through. He wanted you to know that because he was also on the cross saying, God, where are you? Why did you leave me? Now, you must have, in your life, experienced rejection multiple times over. I don't know where, when, how. Whether it's at school, growing up, workplace, family, misunderstood by people that should have known you better. Here's the truth I want to share with you this morning. Because of what Jesus went through, you're not alone. You're not alone. He walked through every kind of rejection that we face today. He felt every single emotion of rejection that we feel today. He felt exactly what you feel. And that means that you can take your pain of rejection to someone who truly gets it. Not just a theory, not just someone that says, oh, I understand this. No, no, no. But someone who actually, truly, fully gets it. And in Hebrews, if you read the scripture about him, talks about him being a high priest, Hebrews 4:15. And this is what he says. He's able to empathize with our weaknesses. He's able to empathize with our weaknesses because he was there. He was right there in those pains. The healing that we need to experience in our life from rejection begins not when we pretend that it didn't hurt, but actually when we invite Jesus into the place that did. That's when the healing begins. A lot of people get hurt. Rejection is all around, every day around us, from people or things that happen. And they take that in, and they pretend like it's hurting. They're not pretending. Maybe they're just dwelling in it, and they're walking through it and waking up with it, and they go to bed with it, and they wake up next day, and they're thinking, oh, what's he going to say? What's she going to say? And they live in this fear of rejection, and they walk through this life not realizing that really the real healing will begin in their life when they actually stop, and they invite the same Jesus who knew exactly how they feel and says, come into this situation, come into this rejection, and you be the Lord. You help me deal with this because you felt this. You went through this as well. So we know the greatest commands, and that is that we are to love God, love each other. And because of that greatest command that we are to receive love, I believe that one of the greatest tools that enemy uses in our life is this rejection. And the way he uses it is so clever. He actually wants rejection to be part of our day-to-day life. He wants us to always take it personal with people, to get offended when people say something. He always wants us to go back and to pay wrong with the wrong. And the enemy wants us to live in this rejection so that we would not accomplish the purposes and the plans that God has for us today. That's what he wants. That's his sole purpose. He wants you to live in your head, to live in this rejection, to keep repeating this scene, this what happened and what hurt you and what they said, and he wants you to live in this. And he never wants you to break out of that because he knows that the moment you realize who's got your back, you would be free. And that's why you need to know who has your back. Know who has your back. Psalm 27, this David, who himself experienced a lot of rejection in his life, was rejected by his own family. Psalm 27, one of the most beautiful prayers that he prayed, he said this, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." Wow. When his life was falling apart, he felt abandoned by the people that he should have been loved by. He said, "God, everybody is failing me, even my own mom and my own dad, yet you do receive me." I just want to take a moment. I just want you to let that sink in for a moment. Just let that truth sink in, that God receives you. God receives you. He doesn't leave you hanging. You don't have to come on a door and knock, and then he's just going to just ghost you and not open up the door. But he actually opens up the door and says, "Come on, welcome. Come on in. You're received. Just the way you are. Broken, hurt, rejected. Come on in. I got you. I got your back. I'm with you." And some of us, obviously, in our life carry rejection from whether it's strangers, people closest to us, parents, spouse, divorce. There's so many rejections that people experience. And those wounds can really go deep. And honestly, it can feel like no one truly has your back. No one truly understands. No one truly will ever know. But I want to tell you this morning that it's not true. Creator of the universe knows exactly how you feel. He knows exactly what you've been through. And he's not like a father that falters and fails and disappoints like an earthly father. He's a heavenly father who never will walk away, who will always be there. You don't have to question whether he loves you anymore because you messed up. You don't have to question because you took the car and you crashed it that he's going to now make you pay for it. You don't have to question. You don't have to think that I have to, you know, do something to be accepted by my father. I have to, I have to read my Bible every day. And yeah, that's reading your Bible every day is very important. But really, I need to read my Bible so that I'm loved and accepted by my father. No, just the way you are, you've been loved and accepted by the Father himself unconditionally, and his door and his number and his is always going to be available to you whenever you need him. So in this life, people have rejected us. They have maybe left us, but it's not about who leaves you. It's about who stays with you. And that is gospel. That is the good news. That God will never leave you. That God is with you in your pain. That God accepts you. That God forgives you. That God loves you. That God has a plan for your life. And his acceptance is actually greater than any man's rejection. It's greater than anything, that any kind of deepest pain that you felt in your life. It's greater than even in that pain. Like David says, "When others forsake me, God never will." And the reality is our human rejection that we live and we experience in this life is often rooted in brokenness. And people often will forsake us, reject us because of their own pain, because of their own fear, because of their own pride, and also because of their own rejection. But God's acceptance is fully based on his love that's completely unchanging, that's unconditional, that goes on forever and ever and ever. His love does not have an expiration date. He doesn't just ghost us when we mess up. He doesn't just leave us hanging like people do. He brings us in. He accepts us. He loves us. And that's why we need to do in our life. We need to know who we are. We need to claim who we are. You need to claim who you are. Because in John the prophet, who was talking about this Lamb of God coming to save us from our own sins, he said in John, he says this: he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So even his own Jewish people rejected him. And you know the story, all of the rulers of Jewish nation waiting for Messiah, but every single one of them rejected him as well. Yet, to all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. Wow. It's one thing to be rejected by the strangers, but it's a whole nother thing when we are rejected by our own people, the ones that you think are the most important people in your life. And that's exactly what Jesus experienced. His own people, he didn't want to do anything with him. Even though he came to save him, even though he came to bless them, they shut the door on him and they said, I wouldn't want to do anything with this guy. Matter of fact, we're going to crucify him. We're going to tell the Romans to crucify him because he's a problem. But I love this verse because this word yet, such a short word, Y-E-T. His own people have rejected him, yet to all who did receive him, he gave him a right to become children of God. And this is what this truly means, that your identity is not determined by who rejected you. It's defined by who received you. And that is Jesus. That is God himself. Our identity is not based in what people think about us, what they say to us, what they did to us, by how they rejected us. Our identity is fully based on this truth. It's the God who defines us. It's the God who receives us. It's the God who loves us. He's the one who made us his children. So the truth is, you are a child of God. That's the truth. You're not just a random soul, just a number, roaming through this life, trying to figure it out. You are actually chosen. You're actually accepted. And you have been given this new name, which is a child of God. And I just love this adoption metaphor in the Bible. I just, you know, because if we live as a child of God, I'm going to live as a child of God. I'm not going to be a victim of rejection, because when you know who you are, and this is the truth, when you know who you are, you can walk differently. Amen. Right? Your posture is different. Your face expression is different. When you know who you are, you don't have to be walking just down, head down, and worried about what will people say, what will people do, how this and how that. You can just stand tall and you can say, I know who I am. Yes. I know who I belong to. I know who's my father. Even those that have had their parents, earthly parents, reject, put up for adoption. I've seen people do transformational work in those people's lives, because they really, at the end of the day, it's the love of the Father that covers all the wrongs and all the rejections that we experience in this life. And that is really the biggest truth that we can live, not only live by, but also declare and proclaim over our life daily. When you wake up in the morning, you can actually say, I'm a child of God. You know, you wake up in the morning and you say, I am loved with the everlasting, unconditional love of the Father. It's all there in Psalms. Every single Psalm talks about this love. And you can also say, Romans 15, love that chapter. The whole chapter talks about us being accepted by Christ. I am accepted in Christ. And it's almost like this is your identity card, where you walk around this life, you wake up in the morning, and rejection may come from the people that you love the most. They may say something they may not mean, and you just don't take it personally. You say, you know what, it's okay. I know who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm going to love them. I'm going to care for them. I'm going to not let this thing throw me off, because this is what the enemy wants. He wants to throw you off every single day of your life so that you wouldn't fulfill the purposes that he has for your life. And guess what? You know what gives me hope? What really gives me hope is Jesus. And here's why. Because Jesus overcame rejection. And there was not a, that this is the thing. Rejection actually that he experienced almost on a daily basis never affected his decisions to do what God wanted him to do. Never. He never threw him off. Even though he knew, I mean, he knew that these people hated him. He knew that these guys were cursing him. He knew that this guy was going to reject him. He knew that this guy was actually going to betray him, Judas. And still, the night off when he was going to betray him, he loved him and he called him friend. Wow. He didn't let any of these things affect the mission and the purpose that God has sent him for. And when we fear rejection, what can happen is we can allow rejection to stop, to bring the fear in, so that we don't do what we're supposed to do. We don't accomplish the destiny that God has for us because we're fearful that what will people say, what will people do, how are people going to react. And that's why I realized this morning, even the fear of public speaking, which I used to have. People say, you know, the two things that people fear most in life is death and then fear of public speaking. Do you know why public speaking is one of the greatest fears that you may have? It's because of the rejection. You don't want people to reject you. You don't want people to, you're not just one person, oh, it's okay, you know, you get rejected by a friend, oh, okay, I'll deal with that. But you come and stand in front of people and then you're afraid that everybody, 300 people will reject me for what I have to say here. See, all of the problem, I'm realizing more and more, a lot of problems that people struggle with and go through this life is because they have not been healed and they have not been fully restored from this. The spirit of rejection is trying to attack and attack and attack and to continuously attack him. But what we need to do is we need to realize that rejection will come our way, just like it did for Jesus, and it's gonna be a normal part of our life. But as it comes, I'm not going to let this rejection define me. I'm actually going to take it and let it refine me so that I'm better because of it, and I can walk around with confidence of knowing who I am in Jesus, of knowing how loved and accepted I am by our Father. Wow. I'm almost at the end, and I just want to kind of end with this. That rejection leaves deep marks and scars in our life. And if we're not careful, it can linger in our life, sometimes for a long time. And we can waste a lot of time that God intended us to be purposeful in this life by dwelling in rejection, allowing rejection to just lead our decisions, to just guide us and not do what we are supposed to do. But today I want you to know that Jesus was rejected so that you know, because he was rejected, he didn't let rejection stop him from doing what God wanted him to do. And so you as well don't have to be feeling that you're not good enough or you can't because of this, because of that. Jesus overcame it. He knew who he was in his Father. You, if you know who you are in a Father, if you know that you're a child of God, you can accomplish great things for his kingdom. Amen. A lot of stories from the scriptures. Maybe next week I'll speak on rejection again. I want to go into a different story of somebody else from the Bible. But as we all stand this morning, what I'd like to do is just this, in this moment as we close, I'd like you to... Oh man, there's probably a lot of things that I can go take these different directions. But I just want to spend time. And as the prayer team comes forward as well, whoever is assigned to pray, I actually came this morning for a prayer as well, because I feel there's still some things that I have been working through myself from my past hurt and rejection. You know, you may want to come forward and you may just need extra prayer, or you may just want to sit there and there's maybe a memory or something, an event that happened where you were rejected and that really made an impact in you, your life. And that is really, you're realizing that that one thing is really stopping you from moving forward fully. You may be moving forward, but it's like, you know, it's like you're almost stuck. You're stuck in a gear and you're not really moving forward. I want to encourage you this morning just to give it to God. That event, that message, that somebody said something, whatever that may be, just this morning, I want you to give it to God. And I want you to say, God, I don't want this thing to define me and to guide me and to make my choices for me. I want this thing to be fully healed so that I can move into all that you have for me. Can we do that this morning? Let me just all bow our heads. Father, our loving Father, we thank you for your acceptance. And we thank you for your love. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that you give us, that's here to convict us right now that we are your children, that we belong to you, and that you have a plan and a purpose for our life. And I just pray for that same Spirit of God to just flow through every soul this morning, that everybody would feel that love and acceptance. And if there's any fear of rejection, if there's any pain from past rejections, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the healing touch of Jesus Christ would come and heal that broken spot right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, only you can do it. Because you have been right there. You felt it. And you know what it's like. But yeah, you didn't allow it to control you. You didn't allow it to make you to do things that you shouldn't do. You just went head on with purpose. And we want to be like that. We want to head on with purpose and acceptance and this knowledge that you are always with us and that you are our healer, you are our redeemer, you are our savior, and most of all, you are our loving Father that accepts us just the way we are. We praise you, we give you thanks, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.